Hello and welcome to watching We The People. I am Vedant Agarwal. Well, today we discuss something that has been a focus for us on NDTV for more than 10 years. 10 years ago, NDTV asked the then Chief Minister of Delhi, Arvind Kejriwal, is living in Delhi going from one emergency to another? Today, 10 years later, the situation remains pretty much the same. The capital is choking yet again. The cancer-causing micropollutant, PM2.5, is in the air, and the concentration levels are almost 80 times the safe limit set by the World Health Organization in many parts of the national capital. This has wide-ranging ramifications. It can, of course, lead to wheezing, coughing, but also larger diseases like chronic respiratory illnesses and long-term exposure can even lead to cancer. There are various reports that have been made public in the past few years about pollution's direct link to antibiotic resistance, to cancer, and even hampering your child's cognitive development. That is how serious the situation is. But today, we move beyond the political bickering. Today, we look for solutions. We have said it enough on NDTV that pollution needs round-the-year attention. Knee-jerk measures, emergency measures, will not reduce emissions, will not clean up the national capital. We need to be thinking about pollution round the year. But is it the government that's responsible? Well, yes, to an extent, yes. But also us as people and citizens of the national capital and citizens of the entire country, because this is not just a Delhi problem. We can make better life choices for healthier air. On We the People this evening, we ask, we the people demand clean air. Can we fight the pollution menace? Before I introduce my panel, let me go across live to Tanushka, who's joining us from Delhi. In fact, I believe Tanushka is outside the Met office. Tanushka, a quick update on what's the situation right now in terms of the AQI and also the PM2.5 levels, because those are the best indicator of how grave the situation is.
Well, Vedant, the AQI as of today stands at 382. So it's still in the very poor category. The air quality index has remained in the very poor category over the past week. And of course, the air quality index has also deteriorated after the Diwali as well. I'm currently outside the IMD office, the Ministry of Earth Sciences office as well, wherein behind me there's the board wherein you get, you know, these constant updates keep flashing with respect to the air quality levels. And the data places city in the cusp of entering severe category. So we're still in the very poor category, but 382 is inching very near to the severe category, which is of AQI of 400 and above. And despite efforts to mitigate the situation, the pollution levels continue to soar, raising concerns among residents as well. The PM2.5 levels also, what you asked about, Vedant, are 65 times worse than what is, you know, the standard that is set by the World Health Organization. So the PM2.5 levels are 65 times like worse at this point in Delhi NCR as per the standard of what it should be. So definitely, like every year with the onset of winters and after Diwali, the aftermath of Diwali as well, is what happens. The entire city turns into a gas chamber, choking the people of the city. The question, of course, remains that why is this a perennial problem every single year?
Absolutely, Tanushka, that's well put, and thanks so much for all those details. Let me introduce my panel this evening. Dr. Anumita Roy Chaudhary, Executive Director, CSE, is with us. Also, Bhavreen Kandhari, environmentalist and member, My Right to Breathe. Zerin Osho, Director, India Program, Institute for Governance and Sustainable Development. Ghufranullah Beg, scientist, is also with us. Thanks very much, all, for being with us. Let me begin by asking you, Bhavreen. We have discussed this issue, for years now. And one thing that experts like you have reiterated time and again, that this needs round-the-year attention. This is not something that can be solved with emergency measures. But what can we do as people? Because, of course, it's also about stakeholders coming together. And the biggest stakeholder in this case is the people of Delhi. How can we make healthier choices for a healthier air?
Thank you, Vedant, for your persistent efforts to bring this, in the limelight, because unfortunately, it really isn't, because that is the reason I'm going to start with just saying that because it's we the people, it's something very connected, and I'm that it's something to remind the leaders that right to breathe clean air is a fundamental right, and it's enshrined in the Article 21, you know, of the Constitution of India. Yes. And our children deserve it. So we should not have to fight for it, you know, and say this again and again every year. So coming to what you, of course, are saying now that, you know, as stakeholders, I think the most important thing for a citizen as of now is to demand for clean air. Because if we are not, we are actually even perceiving clean air as an environmental issue. And it really is, it's a health issue. It's costing lives. It's costing so many years lesser that our children will live. It's costing us, you know, all our, you know, the lungs and our, you know, various problems that we have to go through. There's so right. much, you know, money that's going into the hospitals, etc. So the problem comes is that when people don't see that as a priority and do not demand that, especially, you know, when it comes to elections and at the electoral level, etc., it is extremely important to point out that this is what we want. We want health, we want clean air. And that is how this, you know, moves, this perspective will come into electoral issues. And that's how clean air will come. Otherwise, we can keep saying this again and again and again.
Yes. And as personal stakeholders... You made an important point there that we need to understand the urgency of it, because as I said in my introduction as well, this is not just something that causes, you know, coughing and wheezing. It can hamper your child's cognitive development. It can cause issues like antibiotic resistance. Long-term exposure can even lead to cancer. That's how serious the situation is, which is why, while of course the government continues to fail us, we as people need to make certain better choices as well. And Zerrin Osho come in on this because, you know, basic things like switching to public transport or, you know, taking a walk or taking a bike instead of, you know, relying too much on your four-wheelers or two-wheelers. I think these are basic things we can do. Also planting trees, you know, we need to return to those basics to do our bit, you know, for a cleaner air.
Thank you, Vedant, for that question, and a very good evening to all of you. Thank you so much for having me. I think I would like to begin answering your question by questioning what the government has done, what the role of the government so far has been, especially in terms of the information or rather the disinformation that has been provided to the citizens. You know, the government of Delhi made an announcement that there'll be 377 teams that are going to be making sure that the enforcement of firecrackers is going to be in place. But in actuality, the part of Delhi that I come from, which is the southern part of Delhi, there are about 20 odd homes in the row that I have a house on. And all those 20, I think maybe barring a couple or so, were not bursting firecrackers. There was no enforcement in a part of the national capital where the population density is anyway lower. If enforcement is a problem there, how can we expect enforcement to happen in places where the population density is far greater than that in southern parts of Delhi? My first sort of reaction to your question is that. Then following that, we had Delhi's environment minister talk about how the situation was not as bad as it has been previously. In fact, he went on to saying that he wanted to congratulate the citizens of Delhi, the residents of Delhi, on, you know, faring so well in what we had been able to achieve. Let's look at the numbers here. You know, I have the numbers, AQI numbers for 2023. On the 31st of October last year, it was 280. This year, the AQI for 2024 was 359. The problem is we may have GRAP 1. We have now gone into GRAP 2. You know, I just heard your colleague Tanishka talk about us crossing 400. We'll soon be looking at enforcing GRAP 3.
Yes. And the question is, where is enforcement? The point you made about misinformation, I think that's very important. And why I'm interrupting you here is because you also said the government has constantly been saying that pollution levels have gone down. While, of course, we do a comparative analysis of AQI, what's also important here is that only PM10 has gone down, that too briefly. The PM2.5, which is a cancer-causing micropollutant, that's what we are dealing with. That has not gone down. And it's also a myth that PM2.5 comes into the air only during Diwali. PM2.5 is always there in the Delhi air, you know, given, and its concentration
perpetually,
levels may rise.
Perpetually. And we are now looking at, you know, apart from the other usual sources, which is your stubble burning and your vehicular pollution, We are now added firecrackers. And I really want to comment, I want to take a moment to comment about this whole marketing of green firecrackers. It's a misnomer. Yes. What do you mean by green firecracker? It just has lesser amount of raw materials, but it certainly is going to be burst that causes PM2.5 and PM10.
Absolutely.
And then we're also looking
again,
at
a very
going
important
into wedding
point
season.
Because we at NDTV have said this year after year for almost 5-6 years now that there is no such thing as a green cracker. It's a complete myth. It's a complete fallacy that there's anything like a green cracker. There's nothing like that. But Ghufran and Labbe, come in on this. And if we can have that graphic up on why, what solutions have failed as far as Delhi is concerned. Do you think there's a complete lack of understanding as far as what solutions will work? Because these fantastical measures like smog towers, smog guns, they have failed time and again. And it's the taxpayers' money, the crores of rupees that have gone down the drain. We need round-the-year attention and also some sort of a behavioural change that the government needs to encourage people for. Whether it's switching to public transport, whether it is sort of coming up with infrastructure that is more environment-friendly. These are the kind of solutions we need and not just last-minute measures like water sprinklers and smog guns.
Yes. Thank you, Vedant. See, you are rightly said, as other panelists are also telling. See, the point is that transparency, which is missing. So, you know, you can't keep it something for a longer period of time, secret or something. For example, this Diwali, I have been seeing every hour the DPCC website, 1,000 hourly, 1,000, 1,200 PM2.5 microgram per meter cube has gone for several hours, hourly readings. But then finally, it has gone to severe level. But finally, what we know is just a very poor in both the cases. But in any case, whether it is very poor or severe, both are really bad as for the health causing. Coming back to your question that what is really going wrong, there are a number of things which are going wrong. Number first is the NCAP program is highly city-centric, location-centric and emission-centric. We need to, number one, have to have the airshed approach. Airshed approach is in a very simple terms that the environment which you know, enjoys a similar kind of a climatology. So if you are taking all those measures which are there in Delhi, then in all the airshed, then I think you will have some kind of a changes. But the larger question is that looking at a piecemeal, you know, cosmetic changes that you put it this, you know, water cannon and all those things, this is something is really irritates me.
Yes.
The dust contribution in PM2.5, which is the most lethal, 80% of the time it remains a lead pollutant in Delhi. Instead of its priority source, you are trying to put the all efforts, in fact, majority of the efforts on a 20% of the source, PM2.5 dust contribute just 20%. PM10, it contributes 50% or so. So that is the reason that you have been seeing that PM10 is showing some kind of improvement.
Yes.
So the major larger question is the major source of pollutants is the transport sector, 40%.
Yes.
During the last 10 years, there is an increase of 40 to 45% in spite of the fact that we have been transforming little bit slow but steady to the EV. But even then, it is all happening.
Absolutely.
So
I think that's again an important point you're making, Mr. Ghufran Labbe, that, you know, it's not just firecrackers or stubble burning, as we make it seem, which are the factors contributing to Delhi pollution. If you look at round-the-year data, it's mostly vehicular pollution, more than 40%. Right now, of course, if you see, it's 60% is the others category. And that includes firecrackers. But round the year, it's vehicular pollution. And Ms. Roy Chaudhary, come in on this point. Because we need to, make people aware about how they can contribute to this fight for cleaner air. Because a lot of people are not aware of the urgency of the problem and how they can make a difference too. Every person can make a difference and sort of encourage behavioral change. It starts from your home, then your community, you know, your neighborhood, and then of course it expands to, you know, the entire city. That's how we can clean up a city like the national capital.
Absolutely, Vedant. You're spot on. And what I really would like to emphasize, that it's important now to deepen community understanding of
Absolutely.
The fact that the annual level of PM2.5 that you currently have in Delhi, you require at least 60% reduction in that level to be able to meet the clean air standards. Now, do we even understand the scale and speed with which the change and the transition needs to take place? And in that, people and government have to partner together to enable that change. Now, as you said, that vehicular pollution is an important contributor. You know, despite making all the technology changes in the vehicles, we have met the BS6 norms, electrification is happening, we have moved old vehicles out, there's a restriction on truck entry. Despite that, vehicles are the top polluter. And one of the reasons for that is our growing dependence on personal vehicles, the traffic that is exploding. And it's a paradox today in this city that when travel demand is going up, the ridership of buses coming down. And, you know, and all because, one, that the behavioral shift is not happening because we have not been able to create adequate, appropriate infrastructure to ensure that you're providing reliable service to the people to enable convenient usage of public transport. Hmm. Now, do we even understand, therefore, that what is... So here you need the two partners to come together. People, they certainly have to support what we call sustainable mobility, walk more, cycle more, avoid motorized trips where we can do that, carpool, use buses, use public transport, and support government's policies that will have to now increasingly become harsher on usage of personal vehicles, whether through low emission zone, parking pricing, congestion tax. It is also important for us to support the hard decisions. But you right. also have to enable that change, because you can't ask people to get off the car if you are not improving the overall infrastructure for public transport, multimodal integration, walking, cycling infrastructure, and yes. also restraining people from using personal vehicles. That's the shift we require today.
That's very well put, Ms. Roy Chaudhary, because ultimately we as the people of the national capital and we as people of the country, we are the real enablers of whatever the government decides to do. Of course, on a policy level, there needs to be a paradigm shift in terms of understanding pollution. But whatever we are expected to do, we must do that. And Bhavreen, come in on this, because, you know, what you guys have been doing with My Right to Breathe, of course, we've seen, we've had those, you know, little children in our studios for years now, and sort of them appealing for cleaner air. It's absolutely heartbreaking how the kids of the national capital gasp for breath year after year. Again, I mean, we are almost at the grab four stage, and their schools and colleges will be shut soon. And we are bickering over bursting firecrackers. I mean, at least something should prompt us and jolt us out of our apathy.
Yes, Vedant, it's important to understand, I mean, for the government to, you know, not put these narratives every year. See, no, like...
And not just the government, you know, we as people. Just I mean, people are bickering over bursting crackers. And
no, sort of people are bickering because the government will... So I don't kind of agree so much with the stakeholder. We are stakeholders to come and participate. But the governments will have to lead. Like Dr. Anumita just put it. Exactly. If this policy of congestion pricing, etc., emission charges, this should have been done decades ago. We would have been in a better state. It's not been done. It's still not being done. We're saying this again and again. It never happens in any country of the world that you'll say that, okay, give up your private vehicles and people will just stop doing it. Mm. It's not. You have to be pushed, and you have to be pushed with giving them the convenience of a public transport with other facilities or walking, cycling spaces. So the whole of Delhi right now is a parking lot, I'm sorry to say. So all this, you know, talk, we have to also change. And this whataboutery about pollution. Pollution is not caused by one or the other. So yes. I think everyone should stop debating this. It's poison. It's pure poison which our children are breathing. Whether it's you're banning crackers, banning polluting vehicles, or you're enforcing these bans, subsidizing, you know, EVs, or bringing in robust public transport, you know, stop importing polluting vehicles, phase out of coal, etc. Everything, all the laws on waste and construction, everything needs to be enforced.
Absolutely.
The, you know, this current situation that we saw in, you know, on the crackers and otherwise, I mean, we sing it every day. This is
yes, I think that's an important point.
Absolutely clear.
We've seen in the past few
a systemic
years,
failure.
Bhavreen, that punishment doesn't work. Penalizing people
exactly.
for, you know,
so
for
that is exactly,
certificates, for this entire audience system that we had as
30
well.
30 seconds to...
Yes, penalizing people doesn't work, and we've seen that. And Zerrin Osho, come in on this, because we need to evolve partnerships. When we talk of the anti-pollution roadmap, there has to be a collaborative effort that we need to evolve partnerships between, say, the private sector, because it's a lot about industrial emissions as well, and the governments, and also us as people. There has to be a collaborative, conciliatory approach as we look at this anti-pollution roadmap.
Absolutely. I think we have to do partnerships, because partnerships are the only way we can do this. You know, we can move forward. As my co-panelist pointed out, you will not have any society in the world that would be okay with being pushed. But you need to couple educational programs with enforcement programs. You know, so if it is a congestion charge, the pricing of that congestion charge has to be done in a way that it is a deterrent for people to want to take out private vehicles. But at the same time that we are doing that, it is government's responsibility that they work towards with the, you know, different agencies and organizations to make sure that the multimodal transport system is put in place. And at the same time, kids in schools need to be educated as to why Absolutely. Is it that they are being told to take public transport. So the partnerships together are going to be creating an environment that is going to be conducive for the scales to reach that we are aspiring for. Otherwise, this is not going to be a change we see overnight.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And Mr. Ghufranullah Beg, as we look at the pollution roadmap, how our choices can impact the environment, whether it is avoiding single-use plastics, whether it is switching to cleaner forms of energy, whether it's less heating, less air conditioning. These are also things that contribute to the larger ecosystem as far as the pollution menace is concerned.
See, it all depends on something that what your problem you are looking for. For example, you are looking for a air quality here. Now, you need to make a priority. All of them include, contribute to some percent or other. I will give you some two examples on that. In transport sector, the heavy duty and light duty commercial vehicle, which are run on diesel, mainly overloaded and not maintained, just 5 to 10% of the total vehicular population, but contribute more than 40 to 50%. Now, priority here is not to curb, priority is there for four-wheeler cars also to get to that. But then priority here is to go electrification for those. Although there are problems, I understand that, but that should be one priority. Number two, still private vehicles are using diesel in Delhi. Only CNG and others are being converted into the commercial vehicle.
Exactly.
And they are providing a lot of pollution on that. So these are some of the important, but larger point I would like to make here is, under this climate change, you are seeing abrupt changes which has happened. For example, a live example is this Deepavali. Since temperature which is supposed to be cooler, which is 5 to 6 degrees below the above the normal, that is why the wind speed was little more.
Exactly.
So it has come in a rescue.
It was actually favorable weather conditions. A lot of people don't know that, especially politicians who are saying that, pollution levels this Diwali were lower as compared to last year. It was only because of favorable weather conditions and the wind speed, as you mentioned. I'm running out of time. Ms. Roy Chaudhary, the last word to you. Something that we've discussed time and again, that while we look at evolving a pollution roadmap, how do we bring in more stakeholders? This is something that the Supreme Court also said, that the CAQM has just become a sort of a group of retired bureaucrats. We need to bring in more stakeholders, people who are actually affected, people who can affect change as far as the policy is concerned. How do we sort of encourage that sort of quorum as far as pollution is concerned?
You know, what is very important for us to keep in mind, that if you really want to make implementation, and implementation has to be the focus after policies and plans that have been put on the table, then implementation requires a whole range of partnership building up across different stakeholders at the national level, at the CAQM level, city level, and also across NCR and beyond. Now, for that, what we do not see adequately, the right framework, institutional framework building up to ensure that all plans and policies are becoming integral part of each and every department in Haryana, UP, Delhi, Punjab, and where you have to implement the plan. And when you are doing that, it is from the top level to the ward level. That's where you need to build up the stakeholder consultation, right, stakeholder participation. But you have to ensure that you're taking the community along with you. Because often we find that most of the solutions are not getting implemented because there is not adequate public support for the solution. Because people, they understand the problem, but they do not understand the solution strong enough to extend their support.
So awareness is important on so many levels. And, you know, this is a conversation that can go on given the fact that we need to focus on this round the year. Emergency measures bear no fruit, and that's something that unfortunately we have seen year after year. Thanks all very much for being with us on the show this evening. This is something that we will continue to focus on NDTV, and of course we as people can make a huge difference, and we must understand that. Thanks so much for watching.